I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Remember the nursery rhyme? If you go down to the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. What if that surprise was an eerie, isolated staircase that seemed to lead absolutely nowhere? It's time to grab your trench coat and magnifying glass as we take a closer look at some of the most puzzling, unexplained mysteries that need some serious explaining.
You're listening. You'd be amazed.
Recently, the internet has been abuzz with reports of some very strange sightings in national forests around the world, and I don't mean the animal kind. It began with a 5-year-old Reddit thread posted to the community, No Sleep. In the post, a search and rescue officer for the U.S. Forest Service decided to tell some of his creepiest stories from the job. By far the weirdest tale concerns numerous occasions in which he claims to have come across isolated staircases deep in the woods where no man has ever lived. The staircases have no other structure attached to them and look like they have fallen out of the sky or like the rest of a house has been ripped away. The SAR officer goes on to explain that, at first, he was told the staircases were nothing to worry about. But the next time he asked to check them out, he was told by his superiors never to go near them. People in the replies chimed in with their own creepy staircase experiences. Although most were situated across America, soon reports of similar staircases found Brazil, Portugal, and the Philippines were posted. There are several theories about why these staircases might exist. The first, and perhaps most logical, explanation is that they are simply the foundations left behind by long-lost settlements after the rest of the surrounding structure has rotted. However, it seems odd that there's no further evidence of such houses existing deep in the woods. Some have also suggested they could be a type of deer stand, which are enclosed platforms used by hunters to elevate them to a better vantage point, but others have far more sinister ideas. Could these strange sets really be a pulpit for a moonlit cult meeting? Perhaps they're a gateway to another dimension, or, worse still, to hell itself. As interesting as these stories may be, it's worth taking them with a grain of salt. After all, the entire No Sleep Reddit community is often used to post short, spooky stories that are treated as fact with little evidence to back them up. It's also telling that there are so few pictures of these mysterious staircases, but there's no denying that the sheer volume and variety of reports claiming to have seen them makes for a compelling case. Would you venture into the woods to find out for yourself? I'd rather not follow the steps of those eerie stairs. Did it suddenly get cold in here? You might be left scratching your head after this, but there's one way to make sure you keep your brain satisfied with all the amazing content it needs, and that's by never missing an episode of my podcast and making sure to check out my whole catalog. Now, let's get back to it. On November 22, 1963, dozens of people in Dallas, Texas, lined the streets to watch President John F. Kennedy's motorcade pass by Dealey Plaza. Little did they know they were about to witness one of the most significant events in history when the president was assassinated by former U.S. Marine Lee Harvey Oswald. In the days that followed, police searched for witnesses who could have captured the event on camera. Although the identities of most of the people present soon became known, their investigation revealed that hardly anyone had actually seen what happened. Even those with cameras had them pointed at the president. But there was one individual of particular interest, the babushka lady. So-called because she was wearing a Russian-style headscarf, she was standing on the grass between Elm Street and Main Streets, photographing the moment the fatal shot was fired. The police immediately put out a bulletin requesting information on the unknown woman. Now, over 60 years later, we still have no idea who she is or whatever footage she may have taken of the day's events. So, what do we know? A number of bystanders took photos and videos of the day, and Babushka Lady appeared in a few of them. In Dallas resident Marie Muchmore's grainy film, she can be seen standing behind Charles Brame and his 5-year-old son, Joe. Only seen from behind, she's wearing a tan coat and is standing with a wide stance, holding her arms up to her face. In another video taken by U.S. Postal Carrier Mark Bell after the shots were fired, Babushka Lady can be seen with her back to the camera again, but this time she has walked closer to the street and stands across from the grassy knoll. Strangely, she remains standing while others around her are running for cover or sitting on the ground in shock. The Zapruder film, possibly the most famous citizen video, offers a frontal view of Babushka Lady, but her camera further obscures her already blurry face. 7 years later in 1970, Beverly Oliver, a former dancer and singer at a burlesque club, claimed to be Babushka Lady. She said that she filmed the entire assassination on a Super 8 Yashica camera, but that two FBI agents seized it before she could get it developed. She even outlandishly declared that she personally knew Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby, the man who would later shoot Oswald while in custody. But her story has some significant flaws. Firstly, Oliver was a slender 17-year-old in 1963, which doesn't fit with the old woman image we see in the footage. What's more, the Yashica Super 8 camera wasn't produced until the mid-1960s. Oliver claimed that her camera was a prototype she got before it became available to the public, but her story has generally been debunked. Conspiracy theories surrounding the true identity of Babushka Lady spread like wildfire. Was she a Russian spy, a Secret Service agent, or an assassin wielding a camera gun? Some have even speculated that she was a man in drag, citing her wide stance, which seemed strange for a woman of that era. But because she never came forward to tell law enforcement what she saw that day, we may never know who Babushka Lady was. I've got a feeling that she was probably some kind of time traveler, because who knows? On another metaphysical note, plenty of people believe they have someone watching over them and guiding them through life, what is often referred to as a guardian angel. You might find it hard to put faith in something you can't see with your own eyes, but a jaw-dropping clip that went viral made many people think twice. You must have seen it online somewhere already, but I'll paint the scene for you here. CCTV footage shows shop owner Serdar Binici from the Teledere Mahalezi district of Turkey standing outside his shop when a mystery man walks past and taps him on the shoulder as a lorry speeds into view. This alerts Serdar to a huge metal gate swinging toward him from the back of the truck, which then misses him by mere inches as he dives out the way. Serdar, completely speechless, looks around for someone to thank for possibly saving his life. But the mystery man dressed in black seems to have vanished altogether. The lorry's driver later paid a visit to the Serdar's shop to apologize for the terrifying near miss, but Serdar never saw his savior again. Of course, the video sparked a bunch of speculation after being posted to Reddit, with some claiming that the mystery man could be a guardian angel, a time traveler, or even Serdar himself sent back from the future. Those in favor of the whole guardian angel theory point out the casual demeanor of the mystery man and how he couldn't possibly have known that the metal grid was going to be released from the van just seconds later. Of course, though, naysayers have also suggested that this could be nothing but one big coincidence. Either way, Serdar is going to be thankful to this mystery man for the rest of his life. What do you think? Does that eerie clip show a real-life guardian angel in action, or just one crazy stroke of luck? I don't know what to think, but there's certainly more to it than meets the eye. Now, where were we? On a summer's day in 1964, Jim Templeton from Carlisle, England, visited Burgh Marsh in Solway Firth, Cumbria, with his wife Annie and his daughter Elizabeth. Templeton decided to take some photos of Elizabeth in her new dress. Little did he know, one of those photos would soon make global headlines. In the photo, a strange figure can be seen standing behind Elizabeth. The figure looks like the back of an astronaut, seen from the torso upwards, just behind Elizabeth's head. Apart from his wife and two pensioners sitting in a nearby car, Templeton had not seen anyone else that day. In fact, he didn't even know the figure existed until the chemist developing Templeton's photos pointed it out. This ominous presence may have puzzled Templeton, but to ufologists, it was clear. A white suit, a helmet, a dark visor. Mr. Templeton had photographed a spaceman. Templeton took the photo to the Carlisle police, who claimed it was nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, film company Kodak said the exact same thing and even offered a reward to anyone who could prove the photo was faked, a reward which was never claimed. The photo caused a media storm and appeared in worldwide news, but the strangest turn of events was a link to the planned launch of a Blue Streak missile in Woomera, South Australia. Just 2 days after Templeton's photograph was taken, the missile test was aborted by technicians who reported seeing two men in the firing range. Some reports even claimed that the technicians were stunned after seeing the Solway Firth spaceman in Australian newspapers because the figure in the photograph looked strangely similar to the Woomera apparitions. But that's not all. The Blue Streak had also been built at RAF Spade Adam in Cumbria, just a few miles from where Templeton photographed Elizabeth, which also happened to be linked to a recent UFO sighting. Because there's no photographic evidence of the firing range sighting, these coincidences are hard to prove, but are they too strange to ignore? Some, like Sarah Spellman, chairwoman of the Association for the Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomena, suggest that the Solway Firth spaceman simply struck a chord with the themes of the day and some of the UFO lore of the 1950s and 60s. In another photo from the day, you can see Templeton's wife to the right of Elizabeth. Others have speculated that she may have walked into the background of the shot. If she had been standing with her back to the camera, the overexposed shot may have turned her blue dress white and her hair dark. Perhaps Templeton didn't notice her at the time because you could only see around 70% of what was in the shot through the viewfinder of the camera he was using. Still, without any further proof, we may never know who or what Jim Templeton captured that day. Next up, hidden deep in the Siberian forest, is a gloomy, dark mount towering over the bright green landscape known only as the Potomsky Crater. This giant, speaker-shaped rock measuring some 130 feet high and nearly 330 feet wide is certainly a strange sight to see in the remote taiga of the north of Irkutsk region. But what actually is it? For a long time, scientists had absolutely no idea, and they still have more questions than answers. Until 1949, it was known only to locals who called it the Fire Eagle's Nest. They believed it was a bad place and avoided it at all costs, citing tales of people and even animals who dared to venture too close to the crater vanishing under mysterious circumstances. Russian geologist Vadim Kolpakov was the first to study the crater in 1949. It looked like a volcano, only with a strange semicircular dome cavity in the center. Stranger still, no trees grew on the slopes or in the crater. At first, he wondered if it were a giant pit mine or even an archaeological artifact, but quickly dismissed those thoughts because the area was so dense and the local Evenk and Yakut people could not build rock pyramids like the ancient Egyptians. After his expedition, Kolpakov concluded that the crater had probably been formed by a piece of space rock that sliced off the famous Tunguska meteoroid that exploded over Krasnoyarsk region in 1908. But this was just an educated guess. As the crater gained widespread attention, theories attempting to explain its existence abounded, from a UFO landing to a piece of a neutron star falling to Earth. In 2005, another major investigation, led by experienced geologist Eugenie Vorobyev, was launched. But as the team neared the crater, Vorobyev collapsed and died suddenly of a heart attack. Subsequent investigations in 2006, 2008, and 2010 were able to gather material from the site showing that the crater formed up to 500 years ago, long before the Tunguska event. Eventually, scientists abandoned the meteoric theory in favor of the idea that the crater is some kind of geological formation. They suggested that the mount may have been formed by fluids like hydrogen being released underground from a gas volcano. But analysis of rings inside the trees growing close to the site has also shown evidence of a period of unnatural accelerated growth, like those seen in the forests around Chernobyl following the nuclear disaster. This has led to further speculation about a hidden underground nuclear plant or even buried UFOs with nuclear fuel on board. For now, the Potomsky crater remains a mystery, but at least we can all confidently remove it from our travel bucket lists.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, if you're a true horror fan, the name Annabelle should be enough to send shivers down your spine. Annabelle is the haunted doll who terrorizes paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren in the Conjuring franchise and the three subsequent Annabelle spin-off movies. But what if I told you Annabelle isn't purely a work of fiction? The real Annabelle doll actually resides at the Warren's Occult Museum at Elizabeth Monroe's home in Connecticut, where it is locked firmly within a glass box. While the doll in the movie is a frighteningly real porcelain doll with long hair, the real deal is a plain-looking classic Raggedy Ann doll with red yarn for hair. But don't be fooled. As Lorraine Warren once said, looks are deceiving. It's not what the doll looks like that makes it scary. It's what has been infused within the doll. Evil. Up until her death in 2019, Lorraine Warren maintained that the Annabelle doll was nothing to be messed with. In fact, there's even a message warning people not to touch Annabelle's display box. According to the Warrens, a man who visited the museum with his wife was asked to leave the museum after mockingly tapping on the glass cabinet. But on their way home, the man lost control of his motorbike and crashed head-on into a tree, ending his life. Ed Warren has even claimed that the steering wheel and the brakes of the car he was driving mysteriously failed when he was transporting the haunted doll to the museum. Without any detailed reports to substantiate these claims, some may say this is all just a load of hocus-pocus. But if we are to believe the Warrens, that innocent-looking doll might really harbor a vengeful, evil spirit. The real-life Annabelle story allegedly began in 1970 when a 28-year-old nurse received the doll as a birthday gift from her mom. Yeah! She thought nothing of it at first, but it wasn't long until things started to take a sinister turn. She would find the doll in odd positions or would notice pieces of parchment paper on the floor inscribed with unnerving messages like, "Help me!" The girls turned to a medium, and through a seance, they were introduced to the spirit of Annabelle Higgins, a 7-year-old girl who once resided at the property. Annabelle told the girl she just wanted to be loved, so they allowed her to enter the doll. Surely that's number one on the list of do-nots when dealing with malevolent spirits. Things only got worse from there, until the Warrens caught wind of the case and took ownership of the doll after determining that it was being manipulated by an inhuman spirit. Spookier still, in August 2020, several rumors circulated online claiming that Annabelle had escaped from her cabinet during the dead of night. Thankfully, those rumors were put to bed when Ed and Lorraine's son-in-law, Tony Spira, confirmed that Annabelle was safe and sound at the museum. I don't know about you, but this is one mysterious doll I seriously wouldn't want to mess with. The world is full of things we can't fully understand, and the so-called morning glory clouds of North Australia is one of them. Starting around September each year, waves of spectacular rolling clouds begin to form in skies Burketown, Australia, a phenomenon known since ancient times as Kangolgi to the ancient Aboriginal people. These tubular formations can be up to 1,000 kilometers long and 2 kilometers high and can move at speeds of up to 60 kilometers per hour. Power gliders often cruise up to meet the clouds, turn off their engines, and float along and over their outer edges, sometimes traveling over 500 miles before landing. Eerily, as the clouds pass overhead, conditions on the ground reportedly become calm and quiet. These unique cloud formations have been known to appear in other parts of the world, like Lake Michigan, but not as regularly and predictably as in this part of Australia. But what are they and why do they form? Despite being studied fairly extensively, the morning glory cloud is still very much a mystery. As the name suggests, roll clouds, low-lying formations that can accompany thunderstorms or form from sea breezes, roll along a central axis. Although they can develop on their own, they more frequently occur in successive waves of up to 10, like enormous ropes strung out across the landscape. We may know what they are, but no one really knows why they form, especially in such a specific area. In northern Australia, the leading theory is that the unique combination of land and sea is responsible for the regular appearance of the phenomenon. Breezes hitting both sides of the Cape York Peninsula on the east side of the Gulf create a first line of cloud. But as the cold night air descends, it hits a warm inversion layer over the water and ducks beneath it, creating the rolling pattern. Moist air in the morning forms the clouds, which last until the day heats up and the inversion layer disappears. Although this seems to be a fairly safe bet, no one has yet figured out exactly what causes these utterly bizarre clouds, especially outside of Australia. All I do know is that cloud surfing sounds super fun. Next up, in spring 2010, the Braylorn Pioneer Museum of Central British Columbia in Canada found out what it means to go viral when one seemingly innocuous photo from a digitized collection titled Their Past Lives Here found a new life online. The photograph, taken by an unwitting photographer in 1941, is a snapshot taken on the occasion of the reopening of the South Forks Bridge in the nearby mining community of Gold Bridge after it had been washed out during a flood the previous year. A group of spectators can be seen in the photo, but one man unquestionably stands out against the rest. He wears dark sunglasses, a jersey, and a contemporary camera around his neck. His unmistakable hipster vibe, which seems way ahead of its time, caused the photo to blow up on social media, and soon enough, internet-savvy photographers were racing to unravel the mystery. Had this stylish 21st-century gentleman somehow found a way to time travel? Of course, many who came across the image on social media were quick to brand it a Photoshop job, which is easy to assume until you consider that it originated from a genuine museum collection that was first made available to the public back in 2004. Although there's no way of knowing who the anonymous man is, attempts to debunk the time traveler theory have centered around his attire. Some have argued that the items featured in the photo, like the logo t-shirt, wraparound sunglasses, and portable camera, were actually readily available in the 1940s. They just weren't as common. For example, his shirt bears the logo of the Montreal Maroons hockey team, who played in the NHL from 1924 to 1938. As for the camera, Kodak did make several portable cameras that were available by 1941, although it's hard to tell exactly what type he's holding. His style of eyewear, however, certainly wasn't widespread at the time. Although you were able to get hold of glasses with protective shields in the 1940s, wraparound sunglasses didn't become readily available until some 20 years later in the 1960s. Even though I like the time traveler theory, it's more likely that this dude was just way too hip for his time. You know, just like me. Now let's delve into our last mystery. This one is claimed to have been resolved, but none of the answers seem credible enough. On the 18th of November 2020, a helicopter crew counting bighorn sheep while flying over a remote part of a Utah desert spotted a strange statue below. On closer inspection, they realized it was a gleaming metal monolith standing proud in the middle of the Mars-like red rock landscape. The three-sided stainless steel object was about 10 to 12 feet tall and offered no clues about who could have driven it into the rock or why. But on the 27th November, just as word started to spread, it disappeared mysteriously, without a trace. Before anyone could investigate further, another large metal monolith appeared just days later on the Romanian hillside. It was spotted near the Petrodava Dacian Fortress and was covered in squiggles and loops, unlike the smooth surface of the Utah monolith. It also seemed to have been welded together and embedded in a slot in the stone. Several days after it was found, this monolith was gone too. But it doesn't end there. The next stop on this monolith world tour was Southern California, where one of the shiny objects popped up at the top of a mountain trail in Atascadero, about halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles. That is until, you guessed it, it disappeared. On the first weekend of December, walkers then spotted a fleeting glass monolith on a beach in the Isle of Wight, UK. Among the next destinations to be visited by monoliths were Spain, Germany, and Colombia. But what are they? Who or what is responsible? And why are they appearing all over the world? The structures have been compared to the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, in which an alien monolith is a recurring symbol. Perhaps the whole thing was started by a new wave artist who also happened to be a big Kubrick fan. An anonymous collective called The Most Famous Artist eventually took credit for the ones in Utah and California, but said it had nothing to do with the others. In a statement, it said, "The monolith is out of my control at this point. Godspeed to all the aliens working hard around the globe to propagate the myth." Tom Dunford, a designer from West Sussex, then claimed ownership of the Isle of Wight monolith, saying he created it just for fun. But to this day, many monoliths, including the one in Romania, have not yet been accounted for. Although Colorado photographer Ross Bernards photographed four men dismantling the Utah monolith in the dead of night, there's no explanation as to how or why the others vanished. The best we can do for now is speculate. What do you think? Is this monolith mystery a classic copycat case perpetuated by savvy creatives hoping for their 15 minutes of fame? Or are the so-called monolith makers actually taking the credit for the work of some extraterrestrial life form? If the latter is really true, what are you trying to tell us, little green dudes? Maybe these aliens just like mysteries as much as me? Make sure and stop by the next episode so I can blow your mind again.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.